Well, if you'll open your Bibles to 1 Peter, we're going to continue in this one long sentence, in the midst of this one long sentence that Peter wrote after opening his opening greetings in his letter to the churches and the elect exiles in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And I'm actually going to pray first. The prayer for illumination, and then we will read God's word. So bow with me as we pray. Father, we thank you for your word. It's living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of joint and marrow, judging the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no one escapes its gaze. So we pray now that you would open our eyes to behold wondrous things in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read 3 through 5. Our sermon today will be from verses 4 and 5. This is God's word. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Praise be to God. Let me ask you, I've thought over and over how I was going to, just the first words I'm going to say of introduction. But I'm going to choose to ask this question. How many of you have an iPod? You know, iPods are now old. To buy them, you probably have to go onto eBay. No, I could have said how many of you have a Walkman. No, I know my runner back here, Shirley, have you ever run, listened to music, Mike? I don't know, or right, the Walkman was a cassette tape. You put a cassette tape in your Walkman. I can remember in between 2002 and 2005 when we lived in Orangeburg and my wife, through buying a new computer, I got a Walkman. I had the U2 one with the black and red from the U2 album, How to Dismantle an Atomic Bomb. And I could go out and I could get on the computer and I could move songs onto this thing and I could just go run and just listen to music. Well, those things are old now. I think they're going to make a comeback, though, just like records. I've been buying records like crazy lately. That's the thing I'll indulge myself. I'll buy records. But things come and go so fast in this world. But we have an inheritance that's going to last forever. Now, as we get to these two verses, and I want to say to everyone, I'm going slow, particularly to you younger people, I just ask God to help you. You're the ones I feel for the most of, like, the pastor's just covering 2 more verses today, but I am. But if you'll walk with me, each phrase in these verses are filled with stuff for us to think about. I remember when one of my older boys, again, he would say, come on, Dad. He just really preferred the David and Goliath, the battles, the kings, the putting his foot down on the 5 kings. But today we're going to take a couple of more verses in 1 Peter. And Peter, Luther told us in this little book, man, we have everything we need for the Christian life. Today, the basis for these couple things we're going to look at today, we have to go back to the closing of the sermon 2 weeks ago. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Dr. Kistemacher, whom I was able to have for one class when he came back from Orlando to Jackson, he wrote this. It's on the back of your bulletin. What is the basis for our new life? Peter tells us that through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, God has made us alive and given us living hope. Without the resurrection of Jesus, our rebirth would be impossible and our hope would be meaningless. By rising from the dead, Jesus Christ has given us the assurance that we too shall rise with Him. So everything now as we continue, this is based on Jesus' resurrection from the dead. That's what gives us hope. No other religion has a Savior who came and died and rose again. But we, the one true living God, the second person of the Trinity, came and lived on earth and fulfilled the law and died and rose again. And so, because of that power of that, we can have today in verse 4, hope that provides strength. And in verse 5, strength that provides hope. And so, Peter continues in his, again, his kind of opening, this might become maybe a really long thesis statement in verses 3 through 9 of, you know, this is what I'm getting at, this is what matters, this is the point. And so today, based on a living hope, born again, the resurrection of Jesus, we look forward now to what? To an inheritance. And it's an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. So we look forward to an inheritance. This inheritance is not the land of Canaan. In the Old Testament, God's people, first of all, if you go all the way back to the Genesis, and then to the Exodus, and then to the wandering through the wilderness because of their own decisions, God gave them 40 more years of wandering. They were always looking forward to the land, to Canaan, to a place, a land of my own, my own olive trees, my own vineyard, my own piece of property. But that's an inheritance that we know is fleeting. In fact, they actually, the Philistines would always be coming in, fighting, trying to gain it back. Eventually, they were, God, according to God's own decree, as his patience grew used up, they were taken into exile off the land, and the land lay dormant. So this was not a lasting inheritance. But we have an inheritance, imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. We'll get to that in a moment. We have an inheritance that is based on Jesus' resurrection from the dead, Jesus' ascension into heaven, and the fact that Jesus will return. We have a heavenly inheritance. You think about, in one of his sermons on this book, R.C. Sproul told about one of his grandchildren had said to him at the time, he was upset with his brother and said, "Grandpa, would you write him out of your will?" And so R.C. says, "Well, I said to him, well, son, I've already written you out. I've already taken you out of my will. So I don't know what you're, you know, concerned about." He's like, he said that would be the carrot on the stick and the carrot of telling his grandkids to obey. I'm going to take you out of my will. But you know what? We might not even live long enough to get the inheritance of our, you know, what, life is fleeting. And the stuff might not be there. The stock market might crash and that money might not even be there. You see what I mean? Whatever the material possession we might think of, and even our own physical lives on this earth, life is but a vapor. Things on this earth can fade, can be lost. But we have an eternal inheritance. And so I want us to remember, let's not forget, friends, fathers and mothers, young people in here, we have an inheritance in heaven that lasts forever, and that can give us hope today. Hope that provides strength. That can give us strength, the hope of heaven. It's not wrong to think about heaven. In fact, we probably don't think about it enough. And I'm not talking about that, the weird floating on a cloud kind of heaven. That's not the biblical. We're talking about a new heaven and a new earth. Eventually, new bodies. Jesus already has a deposit of that, are guaranteeing our physical resurrected body. Okay, we have heaven to look forward to. And so this inheritance of heaven, and it's an inheritance that comes through a life, not through a death. This inheritance comes because Jesus rose from the grave. It is secure. And then we have these three descriptions of it. It's so great that he had to discuss it in negative words. So he told us what it's not, you might say. It's imperishable, undefiled, unfading. Okay? It cannot, let's start with the first one real quick. It is imperishable. It cannot be destroyed by hostile elements. Okay? It's not subject to decay. It's unaffected by time. One time along the way in our moves, we've moved a lot over the years. I've pastored a lot of different churches over the years. One time, moth. You know, Jesus says it's where moth, inheritance where moth can't come in. I never really knew what that meant, because I think of a moth as the moth out under the light outside the house. Well, there's moths that actually will get into your attic and will get into your clothes, and you'll have your clothes, you know, closed up in this thing, and the moths are in there, and they're doing damage. And one time we found we had some of these, and you look at a sweater, and all of a sudden this sweater has these little kind of holes in it. This is real. Moths will destroy. But in this case, our inheritance can't be destroyed by moth or decay. There's no, the words aren't coming to me. No mildew. It's not going to mildew. You're not going to find it in the basement of your house that you got to call in this group and put in a bunch of money to dig a trench to try to get the water out of your basement so you won't have mildew. It, not to mention that's just mildew. We look at that and we just think, that's gross. It can't be affected. And it's not affected by time. It doesn't wear out. On the theme of clothes stored away, you ever get out that pair of warm-up pants you had stored away and you pull on the elastic and it's done. It's done. You can't even give that away. It's time to just be thrown away. This inheritance cannot be destroyed. It is imperishable. It's also undefiled. It can't be defiled by pollution from the outside. It's unstained by sin. There's no immorality. There's so many, you know, each of these, you know, each commentator, each pastor, each Bible scholar, that they take each of these and they look at so many different aspects of this. God's Word is so rich and so deep. There's so many different ways to think about this, but can't be polluted from the outside. One of my sons told me the other day that he had read or saw in one of those old videos, you know, the little quick videos that are all over the place now, but that even if you don't, like living in like New York City, if you just walk New York City regularly, you're going to get enough, it's going to be like you're a smoker, like you've a certain amount of cigarettes or a pack, so your lungs are getting polluted from the outside all the time. Not so in this inheritance. It's undefiled and also unstained by sin. Imagine, again, going back to like it was before sin came into the garden. Adam and Eve, before sin came into the world. Now see, sometimes we just imagine it all happening so fast that there wasn't time. But the Bible doesn't tell us how long. Adam and Eve, they saw one another, they came together in marriage, they were living in a place without sin. Think about a world where there's no embarrassment. You never feel awkward. No awkward silence. Unstained by sin. So imperishable, undefiled, unfading. It cannot fade from just wasting from within. It won't wither. It won't grow dim. It won't lose beauty. Like beautiful flowers. We cut flowers. We have a local, one of the folks in our church cuts, I mean, I know that a number of you do, but we have particular folks cut flowers and bring them here. These are beautiful. And every couple of days we can do the little cut on the bottom and try to keep them going, but only go so long. They're going to fade. Not so with our inheritance. Have I made the point? This inheritance is secure. An inheritance that's imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. It is kept. It is kept in heaven for you. Okay? It is stored up. It is reserved by God. And this is the first time that Peter switches from us to you, making it very, very personal. Y'all, as Mitch told us last week, this is actually the y'all. Kept in heaven for y'all. Kept in heaven. It's reserved by God. God is the reserved. God is the one who is his seal of authenticity is on this. And so, I've called this point hope that provides strength. And so today, as we live, whether you go to work tomorrow, whether you just wake up together, husband and wife in your home tomorrow, whether you go to school tomorrow, Peter is telling us, because of this inheritance we have to look forward to that is secure in heaven for us, we have strength to do what we need to do, to serve God, to have a certain sense of joy in the Lord as we go about our day, to obey our parents, to put one foot in front of the other and getting the work done we need to get done. We have strength, the strength that God gives us. So we have hope that provides strength. We have, again, strength that provides hope. So he continues. So you now who, he's talked about the inheritance in the future. You know what? I'm going to pause here because I'm going to throw in part of the test of faith because I remember something of the reason I brought this book in here. What Luther says about this. Now Luther took things, you remember, the cool thing with Luther is he recovered, you know, we can look back and learn so much from him. Because he opened his New Testament and his Old Testament, the Psalms in particular, and he was kind of getting the gospel, recovering it, and he's pretty raw. And he just caught it like he saw it, and Luther wasn't right about everything. And God was sanctified him throughout his whole life. Because he was right there on the front end. You know, he was on the front of a recovery of the gospel. So he kind of looks at the other part of this. We live by faith, not by sight. For all of y'all who, again, you might have said, okay, Pastor, that's good. I mean, I know I have that. That's cool and a reward in heaven for me. Oh, this makes me remember right now some sermons I used to listen to for a particular pastor, and he would talk about ministering to this young lady, and she would say, Pastor, that sounds great. I have this reward in heaven, but I want a guy to, you know, I want a guy to ask me out tomorrow. Okay? You know, I want to go on a date. Well, Luther dealt with that fact that we're looking. So here's what Luther said. He was, and again, I'm just going to read you. Here's one of the things he said about this. So, for if worldly goods are presented in contrast with this, that is, this heavenly inheritance, it is at once seeing how all passes away and endures but for a time. But this alone lasts forever and will never change. Besides, all impure... Besides, that is all impure and defiles us, for there is no man so devout that worldly prosperity will not soil him. But this inheritance alone is pure. Whoever has it is ever undefiled. It will not fade. It withers not. Then he says, as soon as man grows old, he becomes deformed and ugly. But this inheritance does not change. It abides forever fresh and green. But then he says, These are indeed admirable and comforting words, which rightly cheer our hearts. However, since this our inheritance and treasure, of which Peter here speaks, are still hidden and cannot be apprehended by any of the senses, there are hence no poorer and more unworthy people upon the earth than those who wait for this inheritance in hope. Here is he's talking about us. He's acknowledging, you know what? It's true. The world out there is enjoying their all the stuff. They're enjoying all the stuff. They're enjoying all the excitements that sin brings. Some of it sin, others just the stuff of this world. They're enjoying it, and here we are waiting for this inheritance. So he says, there's no poor and more unworthy people upon the earth than those who wait for this inheritance in hope and must experience the terror of Satan in their hearts and suffer that the world is their bitter enemy. He's talking about us. That it hates them. That it persecutes and condemns them as the worst villains who are the cause of all evil. You know this right now. The world's telling us. We're the mean people that don't want people to live like they want to live. When all we want for them is to flourish as God would have them flourish. So here's what he says. This makes them appear and feel as if they were not only forsaken by the whole world, but also by God himself. It does not seem that they are the children of God who are waiting for a better and more glorious inheritance in heaven than the riches and glory of all the kings of the world. Yea, the world considers them mere beggars and fools. This horrible and terrifying view is a hindrance also to their faith and joy, and it is the cause that they, of course, often experience the opposite and think that God is angry at them and wishes to cast them to the abyss of hell and condemn them. However, let all that disappear from your view and cling firmly to the words that Peter says, God the Father hath by the resurrection of Jesus Christ begotten us to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, who do not yet possess it visibly, but with a sure hope expect it in due time. So we do live by faith and not by sight, but it is secure. Although Satan will not now grant you this honor and therefore makes this life bitter and the world attacks you, do not let that worry you. It will not continue forever. We tarry here in this realm but for a short time. Be patient and remain steadfast. And so, there is now a strength also that provides hope. So he continues, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Okay, this is being done. Let me just say very briefly, God is the one, it's his power that's making that possible to be there for us, but also right now it's his power that is keeping us. Who by God's power are being guarded. All right, that word guarded is a military term, garrisoned. We could fill in garrisoned. Who are being garrisoned by God's power through faith. It brings in our part, faith. All right? Or some translations say shielded. We're kept safe. We are carefully watched. Carefully watched. Do any of you have a dog that you allow in the house? And when you're sitting at the table eating, that dog watches you? Those eyes watch very determined. Anyone? We have a dog that sits in our house. His name is Hank. And he watches. And sometimes I have children that, much against my wishes, will throw him food right from the table. No, he's 10 years old, so it's like, you know, we say, come on, we can. He's lived so obediently so many years. But he watches. He watches. You'll forget he's there, and then you'll look, and there he is watching. Okay, God's watching us. His eyes are never off of us. Okay? We're kept safe. This has two meanings that I think are both of them are looked at here. This garrisoned word means kept from escaping and protected from attack. Kept from escaping and protected from attack. Kept from escaping. Like when Paul, I forget the name of the little region, but Paul was in the the general area of Arabia. And the king found out about him and wanted him. So the king started guarding the gate, so they had to let Paul out in a basket, out a window through the wall. Because this king had it guarded. He was going to keep Paul from escaping. So kept from escaping, but also protected from attack. In this case, God is the wall. He's the refuge, the tower, the strong tower. The righteous run to him and are safe. All right, so he is, we are kept safe. We're being guarded by God, but it's through faith. Okay, we live by faith. I've already mentioned that. We live by faith. But everything that I've said so far, it sort of demonstrates that God's power will energize our faith so that it will sustain us. All right? And it's being, I want to move on through it because it kind of all goes together. Being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. So here again we have that God has a bird's eye view. God sees the whole picture all the time. So this salvation, we sort of imagine salvation, and it is on one level. There is a time before you're saved, and then there's a time you are saved. God regenerates you. He makes you who were once dead in trespasses and sins, now you're alive with God in Christ. So that's the point of being saved. But God's whole picture of salvation is a big picture. So we can look back. Christians have been saved and be given new birth by God's mercy. We can often look back at a point in time. If not a particular point in time, you can look back and say, you know, before that particular time, I really didn't know the Lord. But after that, I can look back and say, sometime in that time period, God really, He saved me. And I've been living as a believer ever since. But then we have the present salvation. The present salvation is how God indeed does shield us by His power, and how He holds us. He takes us through so many things. He takes us through so many challenges, and it's only when we look back that we can see God got me through that. God got me through that. God got us through that time that we didn't have any money, and yet somehow we look back and we got those bills paid, and here we are. We look back and we had sicknesses. We were maybe we were just depressed. But here we are. God took care of us. But then there is that future at the last time when we get the full deliverance from evil. All the blessings of redemption come to pass. A new body with no physical pain. A new place with no more tears, where God wipes away every tear. And so what does this all mean for us today? If we're going to apply a few passages of Scripture to close. And you really see, boy, how the Bible, it is so consistent in all how it fits together. James, in the book of James, early in the book, we see that we can count it joy when we face trials, because our faith will be tested and it'll produce steadfastness. Later on, James says in 2:5, "Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which He has promised to those who love Him? We boast in being the least of these. Because God will lift us up in due time." Now, Paul, he put it really interesting in 2 Corinthians 4 as he looked at this. And he makes a pretty strong claim here. I believe that if this is what I'm thinking it is, that I've made the note. 2 Corinthians 4:16. "We do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away," as Luther said, we grow old and ugly, deformed. We're not the same as we once were. But our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light and momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Then back to Peter himself, as we were going to get to later in this epistle. 1 Peter 4:14. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. The whole rest of this letter is going to talk about how we can prepare to face the challenges of life as believers in this world. And then Philippians 4:19, I'm going to close there. So Paul, writing from prison to the Philippians, this epistle of joy, he finally told them, and so this is a great word to close on. Again, this sermon today has been hope that provides strength, and strength that provides hope. And so Paul said, "My God will supply every need of yours according to the riches, according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." God will provide what you need. Live by faith in Him. And to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Write it upon our hearts. Open our eyes again, even as we go, to remember the wondrous things we beheld in your law today. In Jesus' name, amen. God of our fathers, number 573.